Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now, let's take some shelter from the oncoming storm. Noreen Nurean, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brendan, and thank you for having me on.
No, well, thank you for coming in. Noreen, you've had an extraordinary life so far. Singer, writer, theologian, even an interfaith minister. So what we're going to do now is explore that life in five songs. Now, people often start this by talking about the music at home when they were kids. You come at that from a slightly different angle. I think it was a very loving home for you and your siblings, but your parents struggled with their own relationship, and that kind of set the mood in the house in many ways. What were they like?
Well, first of all, I have to say, Brendan, it's so moving to be on, going back on five pieces of your life, you know, the five seasons
of your
life.
Yeah, was it big, yeah?
Oh, huge. I left and I cried over the last week, trying, of course, picking 45 pieces, not five,
yeah,
and then zoning them down. But I'd advise any listener, actually, as a little exercise. Now, you won't be able to come on to Brendan O'Connor and talk about your five pieces.
Well, if they have a good story, we'll
exactly,
have them.
But it's so deep. It has meant so much to
really?
Me over the past week. Yeah,
amazing.
Hugely
well,
important.
Thank you for engaging so much with the process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my parents were marvellous people in very different ways. You know, my father was a businessman, very holy man. I learned so much about the sacred from him because he was nearly always praying, really. He used to go to Mass every day before he'd go into his box office. He created a box office factory in Limerick. My mother was a school teacher, Monthor na Shunta, at that time, which is quite unusual. So she had a lot of pressure on her, I think, Brendan, as I'm thinking over her the last week, because, of course, we were in her class, her three children.
Okay.
So, which was a mixed blessing, because, of course, she had to be very hard on us too in school. But then when we got home, she made sure we did our homework. So we were always top of the class, not because we were the most intelligent, but because we always did our homework and we always had, you know, the homework done properly. And so I've great memories of her teaching us Irish, Macrogdang and Hu Lada Vakto County and Varaga, you know, Queen Artilera, these great.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, they had a sad, not in the beginning, of course, most relationships in the beginning start out very well anyway. But then later on, they were sort of wanted to go their separate ways. But of course, at that time, there wasn't really a divorce or separation, you know.
Yeah.
But the first piece I picked then was around clocks, because I love clocks.
Right.
I have great memory of the ticking of the clocks when I'd go to my granny's there and we'd stay over, and on Sunday afternoon there would always be a sort of a siesta time. They were farmers in Bartiel County, Tipperary. And they'd all be kind of nodding down asleep, but the tick of the clock was deafening and it was a comfort, actually. And then my father, as I say, who was a businessman, went to Holland one time and he brought home a cuckoo clock. Now, it didn't resemble the cuckoo either that came out or that sang, which was a little thing. But my job was to wind it up. And one day he came in and he said, I'm going to teach you a little song about a clock, which is my grandfather's clock that he had learnt, that was very popular at the time, written by a man from Chicago who used to work in a printing factory. So I suppose he had the tick-tock in his
okay
head. So that's the first piece I wanted to pick for you.
Okay. So the metronome of your life here. Mm-hmm. So in this
exactly.
and this is Foster and Allen doing it, My Grandfather's Clock.
My grandfather's clock was too large for the shelf, so it stood 90 years on the floor. It was taller by half than the old man himself, though it weighed not a penny weight more. It was bought on the morn of the day that he was born, and was always his treasure and pride. But it stopped short, never to go again, when the old man.
That's Foster and Allen, My Grandfather's Clock, and that's the singer, writer, theologian and interfaith minister, Noreen Nurean's first choice today. Noreen, You said something in your notes that at home you started singing to fill the silence. It's tough on kids to try and want to make things work, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. But maybe you'll share what you shared with me, Brendan, about that grandfather's clock before we go on to the about your experience of the grandfather's clock.
Okay, so it was the last song my father sang. He on his deathbed, but perfectly lucid and with it. And he was with my mother and my sister, and it was a song he used to sing with my sister's kids, Johnny Cash. He loved Johnny Cash. He was singing that song and with them, and then he died shortly after that. But anyway, that was that was either Trussog is Misha. But anyway, let's get back to you.
Okay. So yes, I was. You know, I'm the youngest of three. My sister sadly has passed over, Marion, 2 years ago, and so they were going to boarding school or at university. And so I was at home a lot with my parents and seeing the unhappiness and I'd try a little song to see if I could get them together. You know, I've just learned this song or whatever. Yeah. And so it was a lonesome time, really. And then you see my mother, who was a school teacher, she taught in the next parish, which was Caherline to Caherconish, County Limerick.
Right.
And so she used to take us there. So any friends I made in Caherline, they were in the next parish. So I was very much thrown on my own with my own little dog Banner that I used to be always trying to teach to pray, to say the Our Father, and the hens, indeed, my mother's hens. I used to go out and I'd teach them every evening.
So I could be kind of a lonely and alone kind of child, were you? Yeah.
And I was my own best friend, really, Brendan, at that time. And of course, I developed then a sort of a spiritual connection that goes right back to when I was a child and has never left me, actually.
Your next song then, so the music was a great comfort to you, I suppose, until it wasn't. Your next song is kind of connected to, I suppose we all know this story in one way or another.
Yeah.
One incident, one moment that can be devastating for a child.
Yeah.
Tell us that.
Absolutely. So, I was sent to boarding school from Limerick to Dundalk because my mother had a sister in the convent.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just so miserable those 6 years, Brendan. But of course, I went to the school. You see, I had been trained as a singer from the age of seven in Limerick City. And so, of course, I was this little star. I used to be singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, all that kind of stuff, and winning all the Fela Limnees and so on. So I was a precocious little girl, precocious little bitch, I should say. And so went to this secondary school then, of course, and introduced the first day. Oh, we have a marvellous singer, Noreen Ryan. Will she come down and sing? And of course, that isolates you from your peers. But that was at 12, and at 14, I was taking the lead role in a Gilbert and Sullivan libretto that were very popular at the time, called Iolanthe. And I was Iolanthe, who was queen of these nymphs, you see, and all these fairies around me. And so the last night was a very important night because there was a visiting hoipalaith from the area, Sir Tyrone Guthrie, and he used to come to all hours.
All right, yeah.
Anna McCarrick, you know, and so he was there with his wife, and we to the matinee, and I was down. We were down crouched, all our little nymphs and myself are crouched down under the stage, waiting for our introduction, which you're going to hear in a minute. And so I suddenly realised I had no wings. I'd forgotten to put on my wings. They were back in my dormitory bed. So, got through the first act, and the nun in charge came and she hissed, "Where is Noreen Ryan?" And so out I came, and so she hit me vehemently across the face. And she said, "Noreen Ryan, you'll never do anything well." So I struggled. First of all, I got a terrible stammer, Brendan, for 6 months. And then I couldn't sing for anybody between 14 and 35. I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional now. So
you didn't sing in front of people for 20 years after it.
But I did sing my own. I was always singing my own as prayer, because singing to me has never been performance, actually, Brendan. Singing has always been far more, much more than just standing up and singing. You know, even though I went through all the rigors and the pains, indeed, of going through classical singing and so on. So you're going to hear this now, and that's why I'm finding it so emotional, because I haven't listened to it for so long, but I'm still back there.
One instant of There was a kind of a lot of casual cruelty, wasn't there? I know a lot of the nuns and priests were great people, but the nuns particularly, you hear about these moments of casual cruelty back then. And look, they had their own reasons for being the way they were.
Absolutely.
Right. This is Noreen Irene's second choice, Tripping Thither. It's from Gilbert and Sullivan's Iolanthe. And this version is by, I'm going to say, the Doyle Cat Opera Company. Okay, Tripping Hither, Tripping Thither from Gilbert and Sullivan's Iolanthe, and that is Noreen Irene's second choice, and a piece of music full of joy there, but not a joyful memory for you. Let's talk about joyful memories now.
Absolutely.
So you escaped all that, and you went to UCC,
and
I'd say it was a magical time in UCC, was it? You were studying under the great Sean O'Riordan.
Wonderful. And Alois Fleischmann.
Yeah.
And there were 22 of us in the class, 11 girls, 11 boys. And the very first day, well, I was there a year before, the very first day I met Micheál O'Sullivan, and up he came. Of course, we were Noreen Ryan and Michael O'Sullivan at the time.
Yeah.
And he put out his hand and he said, "I'm Michael O'Sullivan." And I went into my two pals there and I said, "Well, there's one lovely fella here anyway in this class." And so we sort of became the golden couple of UCC, because we started dating and going out very soon after. And what a beautiful time, because we had O'Riordan, who, and as you know, Brendan, learning Irish in Ireland is not easy. We don't end up with a love of it when we come out of school. The opposite, in fact, in many examples. But O'Riordan really fired us in the Irish language, even though it was music he was teaching us.
Yeah.
And, of course, in traditional music as well, Seannós. And I was also learning Seannós singing from another marvellous man called Pilar Bolera, who was very important in my life. In fact, I wouldn't have gone to UCC to do music without him. He was the one who said, "You're not going to do law in TCD," which I'd have made the worst lawyer ever anyway. Oh, God.
You probably wouldn't.
Oh, I would. So he insisted, and then he took me down and he taught me all these songs that he had learnt in his youth in Onrhyme in County Waterford.
Yeah.
And so that was huge.
So you connected into something there. And of course, the people will know the late, great Micheál O'Sullivan. In many ways, he was the person who continued the work O'Riordan had started, wasn't
Absolutely.
He? And then it's you had a great life, started a family together, and you're kind of travelling around making music and all
that.
It sounds idyllic.
Yeah. We had great fun, and the two lads arrived, Owen in 1980 and Micheál in 1984. And it was a very, very happy time. And you'll hear the only recording I have of the three of them singing together is coming up now, that they did with Miriam O'Callaghan.
Okay.
And so you'll hear the three of them.
Okay, so this is Micheál O'Sullivan, and this is him with his sons Owen and Molly. Do we still call him Molly?
Molly, Micheál, Micheál, exactly.
Micheál, okay. And this is fantastic. This is You Are My Sunshine.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are grey. You never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. The other night, dear, as I was sleeping, I dreamt I held you in my arms. When I awoke, dear, you were not near me, so I hung my head and cried. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life.
Noreen, Irene, you're killing me here with these choices. That wasn't that. And like, music can be so complicated, but like the simplest song done like that, heartfully.
Doesn't it?
And that's Mihalo Suleiman, the late great Mihalo Suleiman, yeah, with his two sons there, yeah, doing that.
Fantastic. That music is so powerful, isn't it? To bring memory and memoir together.
Yeah.
You know, that when you hear something, it'll reduce you to tears, or indeed it will gladden your heart too. You know, if, during times of depression or the low times, a piece of music can bring you back again, you know.
Yeah. Listen, you I know you work with helping people getting divorced now.
Mm-hmm.
So you and Michal, blissfully happy was where we were last at. Then how did you realise it was over, and how do you have a good divorce?
Yes, it was very gradual, actually, Brendan, you know, and we were adamant as a couple when we saw things were beginning to unravel, you know, that we weren't going to enter into anger or to leave things go too far. But we felt at one stage that we were sort of imprisoning one another. We were holding one another back. And that's a very, you know, you have to keep checking that moment, of course, as a couple, because there are always the dark times.
Yeah.
And
so the choice is, do we need to make an effort here and move on, or...
Right.
Yeah.
I'm always quoting that to people, and that great Greek phrase, this too shall pass, this too shall pass. But when we realised, though, that we really were going to remain friends, but by going apart, we were giving each other freedom and space. And so I certainly would never have done a doctorate in theology, nor would I have become an interfaith minister, Brendan, had I stayed Benny Hoolivan or, you know, Mrs. O'Sullivan. But then again, right to the end, we remained friends. So he was at my graduation when I was when I got a doctorate. He was at my ordination in London.
You sang at his wedding.
I sang at his wedding to Helen Phelan.
Do you know what ye did? Ye invented conscious uncoupling. Forget Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin. Ye were ahead of your time with that. And listen, you ran off then with the Monks of Glenstall. How did that all come about?
Oh, Jesus,
and what was that about?
No, I didn't at all.
Well, to the Monks of Glenstall. Yeah.
Who? What?
That you ran off to the Monks of Glenstall. Next phase.
Because,
of life,
of course, I applied to them that time. Coming through divorce is so difficult and so painful. And so I became sort of a hermit, actually, at the time, and applied to Glenstall. And I lived in Glenstall on and off for 16 years. And that was a wonderful time. But then again, like that, to this too shall pass, that came to its end too.
What did you get out of your time there?
Well, first of all, I did a doctorate for the first 3 years, and a doctorate in theology, which was wonderful because I got a little space in the library there where there were 70,000 theological books. So the minute I got a reference, I had the book in my hand in 2 minutes time, you know. And of course, there was also so many experts there on theology that I was very new to. I knew I had an idea. And the first person I passed it by actually was John O'Donoghue, God rest him, which was a theology of listening, how to listen to the sound of God and how to listen to the silence of God too. So I kind of knew I had, from very early age actually, going back to when I was a small girl, I was always listening to the sounds around me, the sounds of nature and all that. I think we've kind of lost that ability, Brendan, as a society, you know, to listen to what, you know, we might call, some people will call God, other people will call Krishna, Muhammad, whatever. But each one of us will have a different name for that connection to a higher force, a higher power, you know.
Yeah.
And that's something that's coming up next, actually, because one of the people I would have most talked about this, talked about God. We never stopped talking about God when we were together with Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah.
And
she came to you at Glenstall, did she?
She did. Asking me to teach her some chants. And I had contact with her really for about 9 years, and she'd come and stay with me. We recorded together, and with John O'Donoghue, actually, on the same recording. But we were always talking about God, you know, and if she wasn't singing, because, of course, as Brendan Kennedy says, I think it's a wonderful quote, he said, God rest him, he's passed over too, he said that Sinead's voice reaches depths that she could never reach in herself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you understand?
Completely, yeah. 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 I think we all get that.
You knew her very well too, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was great fun with her too, because she identified. She once called me, what did she call me? Courtney, the Ireland's Courtney Love. And I didn't know who Courtney Love was. I had to go to the lads and say, who's Courtney Love, lads? And she called me, yeah, another article, she said I was her greatest heroine in music. And then when any time she'd leave me then, Brendan, she'd say, you and I were two crazy bitches. And there's a truth in that too. But honestly, I miss her. And this, I do miss her. So this, the song I picked is Make Me a Channel of Your Peace.
Yeah.
Because she was a channel of peace.
Yeah.
In her own troubled way, you know?
Yeah. And in terms of reaching the depth she couldn't reach, I suppose this is a classic example of the music coming out through her from wherever, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah. And, you know, to be unconsoled, she always wanted to be consoled. She always wanted to be understood.
Yeah.
She always wanted to be loved, you know? But now she... The last line, she's born to eternal life. And she is. She's up there.
Okay. Noreen Ween's next choice, Sinead O'Connor, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair.
Okay, that's Sinead O'Connor, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace, and that's Noreen Newreen's fourth choice today. I'd say at this stage, Noreen, you've the whole country in bits. They're texting it. They're loving it. They're loving it. Don't get me wrong.
I'm in bits myself.
But yeah, no, this is what would you call it? We're having a kind of a purge here of things.
Where's the couch, Brendan? Yeah. I'm looking for the couch.
Now,
how much are you charging?
No, listen, we should be paying you. Okay, now, and in another interesting turn of events, the last song you've chosen is Daniel O'Donnell. We'll play it at the end. What is it about this song that speaks to you?
Well, you see, I've been looking at the five seasons, or the four seasons of my life, Brendan, over these pieces. And so the first was a winter that I shared with you, the winter of my life,
okay.
That was the dark side. Then the spring of my life, which was going to university and flowering and the young girl naivety and all that. Summer was having my lads, I suppose, and seeing them grow and maybe doing my own doctorate, separating, coming in. And now it's the autumn of my life because I'm an old woman.
And so you're not.
I'm 73, Brendan.
Oh, yeah. Listen, you're the first 73-year-old I've seen wearing a military chic jacket like that. It's so cool. We'll take a picture of you and send it out because you're looking
thinking,
totally rock and roll.
No, and I was just thinking this morning, thanks be to God for makeup.
That's so poetic that we've got the four seasons. You were saying to me there, one of your sons is just bringing out his second poetry book.
That's right.
And I'm going to indulge you now because you've done so much for us. You're going to read us a little snatch of poetry
from
Micheál.
Micheál, one of Micheál's poems that I like very much. Of course, Owen then has just flown in from America this morning, so I can't wait to see him when this show finishes later on. Owen is a leadership coach and so on. But Micheál is a poet. Oftentimes, the step backwards lets the soul catch up, so that all our happy hindsights harmonize and wisdom builds. Share your luck. Be miserly only with misfortune. In each seismic shudder, we learn to trust the ground again, humble again, knowingly broken, unrepentantly wounded, proud to bear pain. Oftentimes, this way you can live in ways others simply will not, develop sides of yourselves others would not. So feel the rhythm beyond the beat. Begin with a break. And let your soul catch up.
That's fantastic. How could he be any other way with his father, Micheál Asúlarán, and you, his mother? How could he be anything else but a poet? you have a community project, the Grey Hairs, that you do. people of a certain age getting to sing, is it?
It is. Yeah. And but much more, actually, Brendan. And it all came out of when I turned 70. Gosh, I didn't find and don't find aging easy. So I started reading about it and writing about it and coming to terms with it. And I discovered that there were kind of five S's in aging.
Right.
The first is service. And that's being of use, a kind of a purpose, having a service in old age.
Yeah.
The second I found then was social, that keep yourself connected, to keep in community kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
The third was to smile. Humour is great for ageing. Humour is great at any stage, as we know, you know, because like I was reading somewhere in some research that it says humour is better for you than chocolate and sex. And that, you know, you won't put on weight when you're laughing and you won't get into trouble either. And it's free. Then, so that's smile. Then sing is the next one.
Yeah.
Because singing is very good for you too, you see. And a lot of us think we're not singers, but we are. If you can talk, you can sing.
Okay.
But it's because singing goes right through your body, you know, sending endorphins into your little brain and making you feel good, you know. Singing your cares away, we often say. And then the final, and I think the final one is the most important actually, Brendan, which is a spiritual. That in old age, it's a time for nurturing that inner heart, that inner soul of ourselves, that time can never touch.
Okay.
You know, time will touch our bodies, but it can never touch our souls.
Okay.
And so I decided on that. I said, look it, come on now, share this. The poet Mary Oliver, she's an American poet, she has three great lessons for life. She says, pay attention, pay attention, be surprised and share it. So I decided to share my little insights into old age with people. And so gathered together, and one day I was looking out my window and I saw three grey hares out in the field. And I said, that's it. That's the name, the grey hares. And so we've met three times now and we have great fun, Brenda, because it's beyond music. I start the first hour by singing.
I haven't time for the full timetable now. I hate to stop you in full flow. But listen, it sounds fantastic. They're very lucky. You're very lucky. And no sign of you slowing down. You've plenty of events coming up as well. So you've a Samhain day-long workshop in Glenstall Abbey on October 26th.
Next Saturday.
And that's next Saturday. And others that can be found on turusdanam.com. That's TURASDANAM.com.
Thank you, Brendan.
Booked out. I'd say everything booked out within 5 minutes. I'd say get on there. Listen, Noreen, Irene, it's been such a pleasure. The texts are flooding in for everyone saying what a beautiful interview that was and how beautifully you spoke and everything.
Thank you so much.
I think it's summed up in Kathleen from Mayo. You're killing us, Noreen, but in a nice way. So, Noreen, Irene, thank you very much. And we'll finish off on your final choice today. This is Daniel O'Donnell, One Day at a Time.
Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Do you remember when you walked among men? Well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, it's worse now than then. They're pushing and shoving and crowding my mind. For my sake, teach me to take one day at a time.